miracle of the Lady of Fatima. Was it really the Virgin Mary, or was it something else? Something from another world. This is Jerry Pippin, and welcome to an unusual show based upon the Fatima Trilogy, written by two Portuguese researchers, Joaquim Fernandes and Fina D'Amato. Here is how they describe this series.
What happened at Fatima, Portugal, in 1917? An apparition of Mary of Jesus, according to the Catholic Church, or a close encounter with an extraterrestrial or interdimensional being?
For the first time, we gained access to the secret documents held at the Sanctuary of Fatima. We found that official reports were manipulated. The Seer Lucia described an encounter with a luminous being, a little girl with a ball between her hands. The images seen today do not fit with this first description by Lucia.
The documents we use in our books, Heavenly Lights and Celestial Secrets, show that the events of Fatima are similar to those we define today as UFO phenomena, including a disc-like metal object flying over the crowd. That encounter also shows all the details and physiological effects we can find in modern contactee stories, where a prophetic message is given by extraterrestrial entities.
In 1917, the science gave up explaining these celestial phenomena. Today, it is possible to study the visionary experiences, including Marian apparitions like Fatima, using all the instruments of our contemporary knowledge. We read Fatima events as an outstanding moment of contact with something intelligent and superior. We ask you to take a look at facts and suspend for a moment your beliefs.
Hello, this is going to be an interesting show, not only because of the content, but because of the technical logistics involved. Our two guests, Joaquim Fernandes and Fina D'Amato, are on the line from Portugal. They do not speak English very clearly, as you could tell from the opening of the show. However, we did go ahead and ask them to record that piece to give you a flavor of their personality. That's for the English-speaking audience, naturally, because we have a Portuguese version of the show on the website as well, especially designed for the people in Portugal and Brazil and other places where Portuguese is the language. Our production editor, Jane Swartley, has her work cut out for her on the show as well. Because, you see, we want to give you a flavor of both of our guests. So what we will do is we'll include a little of their replies in Portuguese before we present the translation. And that brings us to our translator, well known for her work in the media, journalism, and quite a writer in her own right. Let's say hello to Alexandra Bruce. Alexandra is on the line from Long Island. Alexandra, welcome to the show. You live right there on the beach, don't you?
Yes, I'm in the Hamptons. By choice, I live there year-round. It's expensive, and you have to sacrifice a lot. But it's so beautiful, and the water is perfect temperature. It's like 80 degrees right now. Perfect temperature to cool off in when it's, 90 outside.
I think we need to let the audience know that there are actually all kinds of Portuguese. I mean, we're talking about dialects, accents, and the like.
We speak very different Portuguese, but the written language is almost the same. There's certain words that are totally different, but the accent is almost another language. I mean, it's very different.
Well, you've translated the second book in this series, the trilogy about the Fatima apparitions. So you're acquainted with these two already, our guest I'm talking about, at least in the written word, and I know you have talked to them frequently, many, many times, really, on the phone. So I think we'll make it just fine. Alexandra, we're playing this bumper music for you.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. Ela, menina que vem e que passa. Doce balanço, caminho do mar.
Now I realize you're a Native American, but you have spent some time in Brazil. Your mother's Brazilian. I've seen some pictures of you on that famous beach of Ipanema. Yeah, nice smile.
I don't give a fuck.
The girl from Ipanema goes walking and
is like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gently that when she passes, each one she passes goes.
We'll be back with a very, very interesting and controversial show, I promise you. So don't go away. But first we pause for this message. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Lisbon, Antigua was a big hit back in the 50s by Nelson Riddle. On today's show, we're talking about a long time ago in Portugal, and we're talking about not a major city, but the tiny village of Fátima. And we're not talking about the 1950s, we're talking about 1917. On the line from Portugal, we have Joaquin Fernandez and Fina da Mata. They have two books out. With the addition of the third book, it'll be a trilogy. These books are about what happened in Fátima, Heavenly Lights, and the second book was called Celestial Secrets. That second book was translated into English by Alexandra Bruce, who is also on the line with us. She's in New York. Summer is almost over here in the U.S., but it's still warm. I wonder what the weather's like in Portugal. Alexandra, let's go ahead and get the show underway. I guess, first of all, we can say hello to our guest and find out what the weather is like in Portugal.
Alô, Joaquim, Fina. Como é que está indo? I live in the north of Portugal, and it tends to be sort of a foggy part of the country. Very beautiful, actually.
Uma tarde soalheira.
Let's ask our guest, first of all, what got their attention? Why were they interested in this subject?
O Jerry quer saber de vocês por que vocês começaram essa investigação?
Em Portugal aconteceu uma revolução em 1974.
Her response was that in 1974 there was a revolution in Portugal where censorship was eradicated. And Joaquim Fernandez, who is a professor, a historian at the University of João Pessoa in Porto.
Fernando Pessoa,
sorry, oh yeah, there's a city in Brazil with the other name, invited her, who I guess had been doing some work on her own studying this, to join forces with him and investigate the story, which is a huge legend and a huge industry in the country of Portugal. I mean, it's an industry. It's one of the largest industries of that country, practically. But they wanted to investigate it from a very dry academic and historical angle. And now that there was no longer any censorship, and the time was ripe for them to approach the sanctuary and request access to the documents and to take a look at the real historical facts surrounding, you know, the 6 months of weird events that occurred during 1917.
Okay, we're all familiar with the Fátima story, more or less. However, Alexandra, I'd like to ask them if it's okay about the paperwork, about the material. Where did they get to see this material? Was it kept by the Catholic Church, or what?
Ele quer saber se vocês receberam qualquer resistência.
Okay. Her answer is that she had a scholarship from a university and was given access to documents really from the Fatima Sanctuary, except for that she had to notify what, notify them what documents she was perusing and what she would write. They would have a right to look over her analyses of, but as far as gaining access, there didn't seem to be any. That was not a challenge. It was just that they had to have the right to.
In other words, they had to approve the final product. And that leads me to the subject of the unusual angle, I think, of this book, or these series of books, and that's, there's a UFO connection, right?
Well, there is, whatever the UFO connection is, and this is a point that I think in the first book, they might have stressed the similarity between the cluster of phenomena that occurred in the Fatima apparitions over the course of 6 months, and the many, many eyewitness testimonials of UFO sightings and abductee reports. You know, there are many, many similarities to the Fatima events and the UFO and abduction phenomena that occurred later in the century. And the first book pointed out those many similarities. Now, as to defining exactly what the UFO phenomena is or are, you know, that is maybe beyond the ken of our current 3D human rational thinking. And to jump to a conclusion that it's evil aliens, deceitful, manipulative aliens or whatever is maybe just the way we, in our current human development, might interpret those events, but maybe 1,000 years from now we'll understand what it all meant. You know what I mean? But certainly that it was Our Lady.
Yeah, what I was getting at
is definitely in question. That's for sure.
Yeah. What I was getting at is how did they come up with the similarity? How did you come up with the similarity?
The many different. Well, they witnessed the falling leaf sort of phenomena of the miracle of the sun, the end of the apparitions, where there were like 30,000 plus witnesses. There was a disc that started out silver and became transparent, and they could see three beings inside this disc-shaped object, and certainly that would seem to be very UFO-like, you know, but what the hell are we really talking about here? And there are other events that the children reported of when they saw the Virgin hanging over the tree, or when they saw an angelic being suspended over a tree, looked like a holographic projection from potentially a ship above the cloud level. The ceiling was very low, and they could not see where the beam was being projected from, but it looked like when the image disappeared, it looked like a ray was being shut off that came from above the clouds. And other phenomena, such as being paralyzed,
I understand.
Drink by the entities. I think the children, one of them was given something to drink. Many of these different phenomena or activities or symptoms sound like the many, many, many UFO and abduction reports over the 20th century. So
no, when the authors came up, and let's ask them this about this, when in Heavenly Lights, when they came up with this similarity, or alluding to the similarity of UFO legends, what kind of reaction did they get? A, from the officials, and B, from the public. They're in Portugal.
Houston. Oh, okay. Essentially, what he's saying is that the Catholic Church, as far as the hierarchy, ignored it completely. He's saying that middle-level clerics in Portugal wrote a few articles about it, of course expressing shock and, you know, disavowing anything that they said, because, of course, it doesn't fit within the tenets of the faith of, you know, the Catholic faith. And that essentially the public reaction depended very much on their own cognitive psychology, on their own belief systems. So if they were hardcore Catholics, they were upset, they thought it was blasphemy, you know, or if they were UFO believers, you know, then they thought this is it, this is perfect, you know. So it was across the board. Now, Fina is saying that she was on the street a couple of times and threatened, and that in one incident she had to actually flee. She had to jump into a truck and you know, be driven away quicker. She angered a person, obviously, who was very hardcore Catholic faith and who was angry at their book.
Like, I'm your nephew.
Wow.
Well, they need to follow up on that.
Did
it impact their careers?
Muy interesante. Okay, a very interesting thing to point out is that, which I had forgotten to mention in the last answer, was that the Catholic Church itself and the sanctuary that holds that where these documents, these Fatima documents, are stored, had never bothered to really study them in depth themselves, and that these people were the first people to ever do so. She had a scholarship to study history, basically, to study the history of women in the early part of the century, because in the early part of the century, there was a revolution where the first republic was founded in Portugal, where there was a separation of church and state, and many of the clerics were forced to flee the country. It was a very anti-Catholic kind of, it was pro-Republican, meaning separation of church and state, and trying to enter the modern era of separating church and state. So she was studying the history of women during that period of time, and it was actually because of that it all coincided with the apparitions, the era of the apparitions, that she was able to gain access to these documents, because she says that not even bishops or anyone had ever had access to these documents before. And it was because she had a scholarship to study women in that era of Portuguese history that she was gained access to those documents. And as a result of her scholarship was rescinded, and basically she was blackballed as a investigator or journalist, or, you know, was never able to get another, you know, scholarship to go to school again.
Are either of the authors Catholic?
Ele quer saber se vocês, alguém, algum de vocês, são católicos.
Foi católica, não é?
Tanto, somos batizados.
Batizados, católicos.
Casamos. Okay, this is a very interesting answer. They said, yeah, certainly their background, they were baptized, they got their first communion, they baptized their children, they are culturally Catholic, in a culturally Catholic, you know, nation.
Mm-hmm.
But science is science, and they're scientists. And he said, it may say that many other scientists are Catholic too.
É preciso lembrar a todos os crentes que Fátima nem sequer é um artigo de fé, né? É uma questão de fé que imponha qualquer dogma, qualquer obrigação aos próprios católicos. Portanto, é um território aberto à investigação. Deve ser um território aberto à investigação.
Yeah, he believes that the events of Fátima should not be an article of faith, but should be a subject of, you know, academic and scientific investigation.
When they started studying this, what conclusion did they draw about the events of Fatima? What happened there exactly, and why?
There's actually some interesting details in the second book that are very interesting, but I'm going to ask them this question anyway. Quer saber qual foi a sua conclusão inicial no seu primeiro livro? Ao que se ocorreu na Fátima com essas aparições.
Em relação ao primeiro levantamento de
nomes, what he's saying is that yes, the first book concludes that the body of evidence and phenomena of what was reported about the Fatima events by the witnesses, the eyewitnesses there, and the thousands of reports of UFO and abductions that occurred later in the century show at least 15 points of similarity in terms of psychological, physical evidence, factors that show that there is an absolutely a relationship between the two phenomena, between the UFO phenomena and the apparitions of Fatima, but that the interpretation of what those things are remains, just to say that it's a UFO thing implies, of course, a whole other set of beliefs, and everyone, you can't forget that either, because some people, we did an interview with Linda Moulton Howe, and she was very insistent on her own belief system, which is that, based on her own relationship with, close relationship with high-level military people who have confided in her, that their belief, or whatever they were telling her, is that the alien and UFO phenomenon, quote-unquote, has been here forever. It consists of extremely deceitful beings who will mimic Catholic imagery to manipulate people, and it's extremely deceitful and manipulative aliens. But the authors themselves are not saying that. They say that for thousands of years there have been interdimensional phenomena occurring in that part of Portugal since prehistoric times, that there have been cults and visions and things reported that have changed name and nomenclature depending on the belief systems of the witnesses. And so when you say that there's a correspondence between the apparitions of Fatima and the UFO phenomenon, you have to keep in mind that, okay, what is the UFO phenomenon? Because that represents a whole other cluster of beliefs depending on who you are.
Okay, I know Linda Moulton Howe, and I like her very well, and we visit quite a lot. But I have no definite belief. Even though I've been doing UFO shows as long as you have lived.
Me too. I've had over 20 UFO sightings throughout my life, and I, for the life of me, know less about it now than I ever did.
Now, how do the authors feel? Do they think this might be extraterrestrial, interdimensional, or a combination of all of this, or something we just don't understand?
I think probably all of the above. Mm-hmm. Something we can't really wrap our heads around. Certainly within the paradigm of, rational, 3D, logical reason, it cannot be pinned down by those means. It can only the facts can be noted, and that's really what the book is. It's not propagating a belief system of any kind. The first book to really clearly lay out in a very dry and academic manner the homology, the similarity between these two sets of phenomena, the apparitions of Fatima and the UFO phenomena.
Now, I'm going to talk to you about celestial secrets in a moment because you translated that, but you mentioned your UFO sightings, Alexandra, and we'll have to follow that up sometime.
Okay.
Because I'm very interested in that. Obviously, you're interested in this subject. And in addition to this, what was your opinion when you got this book, Celestial Secrets, to translate? I mean, did you have already a clue about what it was about?
Yeah, I think that I had read Jim Marr's Alien Agenda, where he, I think, references the book, and he actually did the foreword for the book that I translated of theirs, the second book.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, through other sources, because I've been studying the UFO phenomenon practically my whole life, because I've been seeing UFOs my whole life, and I don't call myself an abductee. I don't consider myself an abductee. Everything I've seen every shape, size, and kind of moving object you can think of. It's not like the same thing. It's like, you know, hounding me. I don't know why I see stuff, but 98% of the time I am accompanied by other people and they see the same thing that I'm seeing.
So at least
the laws of physics, I've seen things that are so huge and big and hovering over a city of 20 million people and not front page news or on the TV the next day, and realized that the laws of physics were being broken that I was being taught in school, and that it wasn't considered to be front page news or any news whatsoever. And I realized at the age of 13 that we're living in a world of lies. Complete, utter lies.
That's
what I got.
Yeah, well, I understand. And we'll follow that up a little bit more, because there are a lot of sightings in Manhattan, New York, Long Island.
Most of them were in Manhattan, and most of them were over the World Trade Center, where I live 500 feet away from. And it's like a vortex, that area. And, I mean, it certainly was a vortex that changed the world quite a bit.
Yeah. When we talked to the authors here, ask them, well, let me ask them, basically, were there any abduction scenarios in the Fatima events?
Sintomas de abdução, do fenômeno de abduction que se ocorreu nas ocorrências de Fatima, porque, por exemplo...
Como deve recordar-te, Xander, neste segundo livro...
He's saying that, among many phenomena that occurred during the Fatima, many, many different Fatima events that occurred over a six-month period, were cases of, the buzzing in your head, being paralyzed, hearing voices and visions. You know, you hear a lot of stories of the Greys showing the abductee screens with visions of an apocalyptic future. Lucia received something like that. And, many, many other sort of correspondences between her experience and she originally testified, and, you know, what they found in these documents, which were really never been looked at by the Catholic Church, and the classic abduction scenario.
It's
important also to note that they make a distinction between Fatima 1, which is what they discovered in the sanctuary documents, which was the testimony immediately following the events, okay, in 1917 and 1918, the various people involved, and that was the three children, the prelate of the area who interviewed them, and his reports of his interviews with the children, and interviews with family members of the children and friends of the children and other witnesses. And what they reported, those were all stored in the sanctuary and had really never been reviewed by anyone prior to these historians' investigation.
We are talking with Joaquin Fernandez and Rina D'Amato. They have written a trilogy on the Fatima incident in Portugal. The name of the first book in the series was Heavenly Lights, The Apparitions of Fatima and the UFO Phenomena. The second book is Celestial Secrets, The Hidden History of the Fatima Cover-Up. And the translator for that book is with us from New York, Alexandra Bruce. When we come back for the next segment, we're going to get into the research done by these two researchers in Portugal. I think that you'll find what we talk about will be definitely fascinating. I'm Jerry Pippin, and you're listening to the UFO Files.
Do you have a problem with mold or mildew in your home? Well, listen to this. We have found a product you will love. Moldzyme, an effective non-toxic mold and mildew cleaner. Moldzyme is the cleaner, greener way to remove mold and mildew stains. This is a line of completely non-hazardous, non-toxic, and environmentally safe products. It gets rid of mold and mildew stains quickly, easily, and safely. Moldzyme contains no chlorine or ammonia, is non-hazardous, and hypoallergenic. safe on wood, concrete, and brick, inside or outside your home. Molzheim eliminates odors and is fragrance-free, an all-natural and environmentally safe way to remove mold and mildew stains that really work. See the complete line of products by clicking on one of the Molzheim banners located throughout our website. You'll be glad you did.